Okay, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Erevin daf Samach Hey. We left off right towards the bottom of Samach Dalma Beis. Again, we're continuing in Gemaras that relate to what the effects of a person being intoxicated. That was the primary discussion in yesterday's daf is daf Samach Dalad. First, we got back into Erevin a little bit. Then we got sidetracked with a discussion. We had two psukim from Yehuda Mishmuel, one of them with regard to Erevin, that a skira lekitei, an employee has the power to join in from an Erev. So if you have a geisha dweller in a chatzer, if he has a Jewish employee, the Jewish employee could join into the Erev. Rav Nachman loved that memra, and then we had the memra that Rav Nachman did not like as much, which is about not passing once a person is a little bit under the influence, once he drink a revius of wine, and that took us into a longer conversation about, first of all, not giving compliments to some members and degrading other members, and then in general about the effect of one drinking wine shouldn't be passing, shouldn't be davening. We're continuing on that topic. So I believe we left off Amamar towards the bottom of Samach Dalad Amud Beis Amamar, about six lines up from the bottom of the page. In the conversation, we brought actually a long story which had seven limudim. We learned from the story, Rangamil traveling on the road, and he picked up a loaf of bread that was dropped by the goyim, and he had Rav Eloi pick it up, and then he gave it to another guy. So one of the things we learned was, Eim Avin Aleichlin, says Gemara, Amar Beichem, Mishim, Mishim, Nechai, Leishanu, El Badesh, Leishanu, this is only in the early generations, you don't pass up on food, Shem, Esom, Prutus, B'Kshafim, when there's no concern that there was Kishif involved in this food that was left on the road. Avodaris HaKohanim, the later generations, Nebuch, Shemrei Yisrael, Prutzim, B'Kshafim, even the Jewish daughters are parrots in Kishif. They're busy with Kishif, it's the even, because remember the case of the loaf that we found earlier was talking about by a non-Jew. It was a case of a loaf that the whole Gemara, one of the Gemara's assumption was, you go bus a rave, and rave of the people there were non-Jewish, therefore you can assume that bread was from a non-Jew. The point of error was to come in to say, even B'nai Yisrael, I think that's how I understand it, even B'nai Yisrael were busy with Kishif, certainly the Goyim were busy with Kishif, then you don't touch the bread, you don't touch the food. Mavirin, you leave the bread on the floor, and you pass by. Tana, but the Gemara brings a brisa which elaborates, Shleimim Mavirim, if it's whole, that's when you have to worry about Kishif, because Kishif is done on whole food that was left on the ground, Pesisa, but if it's pieces, Imavirin, you don't leave it on the ground, because Kishif was not performed on pieces. Avran, you tell me that sorcery, that Kishif is not practiced on pieces of bread, but the Pasuk is not like that. The Pasuk of Echsiv, Vatechalana Oisi El Ami, Bishali Shoyrim, Ubisayis Elechem. It says that you Vatechalana means like you made chulin, you made chal, you desecrated in front of me with handfuls of barley, pieces of bread. It's talking about the acts of Kishif and referring to pieces of bread, says the Gemara, the Shakli Bagrayim. When they did the Kishif there and they desecrated for handfuls of barley or pieces of bread, it doesn't mean they did the Kishif with the bread or with the barley. It means they did the Kishif in exchange. Their payment was barley and pieces of bread. Yes, so pieces of bread was used for payment, but a piece of bread is not used for the Kishif itself. Kishif is not performed on pieces, and therefore, if one sees a piece of bread on the floor, he should pick it up. Pieces can be picked up, and he doesn't have to worry about it being involved in Kishif. Amar Rav Sheshes, last words of the page, Samach Talam Beis. Amar Rav Sheshes, Meshim Rablaz Merzayah, top of Samach Hey. Yachani Liftar is Kolam Kulay Menadin. I could pater the entire world, merely all Yidden, from any judgment for that virus. Why? From the day of Bismish was destroyed till now. Because the Pasuk says, listen, we're poor, we're poor people, we're drunk, but not from wine. So the destruction of the Bismish Mikdash causes us to be drunk from sadness, we're drunk, but not from wine. And once we're drunk, we're considered the status of a drunk who's not liable for his actions. Meisvei, shikam mecha mecha mimka mecher. But we have a kasha from Bryce, says very clearly, a drunk's purchases are a purchase, his sales are a sale. He may have done the transaction while he's drunk, but the actions are final. Of a very shish b'misa, if he committed a very which is chayv misa, b'misa I say, he's chayv misa for it. Malkus, malkan I say. If he did a very, he's chayv malkus, for he gets malkus. Closer, davar, rik, pekech, lo, davar, el, shepat, amat, vila. The cloud that Bryce says is that he is considered, someone who is drunk is considered a pikeach, he's considered like a regular healthy person, not like a shaita. He's considered a healthy person for all matters except for tefillah. But otherwise, he's considered chayav all matters. So what does it mean? What does it mean when he was saying, Rav Sheshes was saying from Rabbi Elazar ben Zakkai, I could pater him from all mitzvahs based on the fact that we're drunk from sadness of the Beis Mikdash, we're saying a person is drunk is chayif everything anyway. Mar says, you're right. When he said I could pater, he didn't mean from all din of all mitzvahs. He meant specifically from the din of not concentrating during tefillah. I could pater from the fact that the people are being held accountable for not concentrating during tefillah because everyone is drunk from the Beis Hamikdash destruction. And we're saying that even in this Bryce, which says that one's fully reliable, he's a pikech, when he's drunk, he's still pater from tefillah. Amar Chanina, Lashon El Shalagiyah, Shechusha Shalait. This is only when a person didn't reach Shechusha Shalait. Avigil Shechusha Shalait, pater mekulam. When we said in the Bryce that the person's still obligated, he has din like a pikech, full dvarm, even when he's drunk, is only if he's not as drunk as the Shechrus of Light. But if he reached the level of the Shechrus of Light, then he's going to be putter from all matters. That's a whole higher level of Shechrus. So 2 points in this. First of all, on what is Shechrus Shalait? So Rambam in Hilchos Kinyanim seems to say that when a person doesn't know what he's doing, that's Shechrus Shalait. So even though we're saying over here, the Brisa by Kinyan, if someone's drunk, his Mekka is Memkar, his sales are sales, purchases are purchase, sales are sale. But if Mamash doesn't know what he's doing, that's Rambam explains, that's Shechrus Shalait. The truest Mari Brainin gives a different Madrega, what's considered Shechrus Shalait? Anything a person does that he will not remember afterwards. If he will remember afterwards, like Layada Vishachba, he didn't know about when he lied with his daughters when he woke up, he was unaware of it, he didn't remember about it, he had no recollection, that's Shechrus Shalait. When he has no recollection of the actions afterwards, that's the Madrega of Shechrus Shalait. So that's a second Mishad. Again, Rambam says he just doesn't know what he's doing while he's doing it. You can see he doesn't know what he's doing. The Chuvus Mari Brennan says it's something that he won't remember afterwards. If he has no recollection, that's a Madrega. It could be while he's doing it, it seems like he has an idea of what's going on, but if he won't remember afterwards, if he does remember afterwards, that's considered Shechrus Shalait. And if Akhtar Emden wants to say, it's the Gemara we had yesterday. We had a Gemara just yesterday we described Shisu Yayin versus who he shouldn't daven, but if he does, one drink wine, his tefillah is a tefillah, as opposed to someone who's a shikr, that even if he davens, his tefillah is a teva. And the Mara says, what's the difference between Shisu Yayin and shikr? And the Mara brought from those two Amarim that were departing from each other, one of them, they leave each other, Tech-tivitera. One of them explained to the other, he gave over the memory that Shisu Yayin is someone who can still appear in front of a king, whereas shikr is one who wouldn't be fit to appear in front of a king. Says Rebecca Remden, someone who wouldn't be fit to appear in front of a king, that's the same as drink as shikr, that's shikr kalait. When we say shikr and shikr kalait, it's the same thing, it's not a higher level of shikr, someone who's not fit to go in front of a king. Marshall points out very important that even though we're saying this person is Shechrus Shalait, is Patam Akulam, so even his Mekach is on a Mekach, his purchases are not purchases, his sales are in sales, he's part of all other mitzvahs, not just tefillah, however he's still Chayvet Hezek. A person does not have, otherwise, one of his verses he brings is, if a person doesn't like someone, then he wants to damage him, he'll get drunk next to this guy's items, he'll go get drunk next to the guy's items, and he'll end up destroying it, which is all sugya. We know if a person goes to sleep, and he damages in his sleep, if he went to sleep and the items were there already, he is obligated. If the items were put there once he's very sleepy, then he's not obligated, so it could be, you can make a distinction, but the point is, Marshall says in general that the Hezek one would be chayav for even if he damages while drunk. Adam Ulaylam applies even when a person is completely drunk. Okay, that's all point number one. Point number two is really a total side point. We quoted when we started the last words of the page, Rashesh's Meshum Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rashesh's Meshum Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So it's just an interesting point. What often we say, Amar of so-and-so. We say, Adlashan of Amar. Another place we say, Amar Mishum. What's the criteria when we say Mishum and when we say Amar? So it's actually interesting, three of Machlekes in the Rishayim. Rashi learns, Mishum is when the information is secondhand. When he didn't hear it directly, he heard that so-and-so said it, so he says Mishum. So Rav Sheshes like says, right, which would be a simple translation of the words. Rav Sheshes says, Mishum, Rav Lazaya. He's saying over something that he had heard. He heard it, but not directly. He heard it from in the name of Rav Mazaya. So he's saying over Mishum. This was said in Rav Mazaya's name, but not that something he heard directly. Whereas Amar is where it was something he was heard. He's saying over Memra from Elite or from someone else that heard it directly. But there's an Amar. There's a chain of direct hearing of that Memra. That's how Rashi learns. Rashbam Bavasa says no. Amar means when it says Amar so and so is Rebbe Muvuk. Mishum is when it's not Rebbe Muvuk, when it's not a primary Rebbe, that's what we say Mishum. Rambam says exactly opposite. Rambam says in Pirush Mishnayos, Mishum indicates Rebbe Muvuk as opposed to Amar. Mishum, when it says Amar so-and-so, it's not necessarily Rebbe Muvuk. When it says Mishum, that is Rebbe Muvuk. Interesting that the Rambam and the Rashbam is above Vasra, right? Lots of Rashbam is above Vasra. The Rambam is in Pirush Mishnayos, but they have opposite approaches to this Lashon of Mishum. And Amar, again, it's not really Dafkar Sugi, it comes up all of Vashas, but just an interesting point. Okay. Amar Chanina.
Just the point about the Shisui Yayin.
Yes.
The level of Eina Yofa,
One would think that the level of Eina Chalam Femelch is a very low level. Enachami. You would think it's a lower Madrega, right? Once a person's off his game a little bit, you would think it's very dangerous to put in front of a king. Right, so it seemed to be a lower level of drunkenness. In our mind, what we would consider shechrus shalait would seemingly have been greater than that. It's a good point. Amar Chanina, kala mafik magin, one who actually passes on davening. It's actually mechlik is exactly what the taisha of the pasuk of mafik means. But the first taisha is he passes over davening b'shas gaiva at a time of gaiva. So they contain and they seal off troubles that from him, meaning he was potentially open to certain issues, and he gets protected from them by passing over davening and by not davening. So he's taiching the word, and then we'll see the pasuk magain. Magin Avram, but he's mafik. You touch the word mafik meaning to pass over davening. Shemar gaiva afike maginim sagar chesim tsar. My mashba afik lishad davuriyu. The Mara says, where do you see the lashon of afik means lashon of passing over? Tichsiv achi bagdu k'may nachal kafik nachal yavaydu. My brothers betrayed me like a stream. They moved into the stream. They passed by. So it's lashon of passing over. He passed over davening because he was drunk. Now the Mara brings a different type of this very same pasuk in Eiv. Rabbi Yechon Amar, kol she'enim mafik itmar. Kol she'enim mafik. The pasuk means whoever does not mafik. A mafik in this context doesn't mean pass over davening. It means whoever doesn't express the davening from his mouth. It's the same idea. The bottom line is the same idea. The idea is that he doesn't daven while he's drunk. He's just going either the first version of the Gemara asks what nafkmina is, but the first version is going that he's passing over davening while he's drunk. The second one is going, he's not passing the words of davening through his mouth when he's drunk. So it's called she'inai mafik itmar. He's not passing the words of davening, expressing the words of davening while he's drunk. My mashma dai mafik lishna deguliyu. Where do you see lishna mafik is lishna vimagala of saying the words of davening, expressing? Tachsiv ayur avafikimayim, fagilam isestavil. Says the Gemara michti. Korei mashma meilamai meilamai. The psukim can be touched both ways, either passing over davening or not expressing his tefillah while he's drunk. My benayo. When he wanted to get rid of his shikr, when he was intoxicated and he wanted to daven, he would give his sleep to his misharis, saying, I'm going to sleep. Wake me up before when the time of davening arrives. Rabbi Yechanan, who says that you're not mapping, you don't express why you're drunk, he agrees to Rishatius, right? So, meaning he could be woken up. Once he slept a little bit, he could be woken up to express his davening. Whereas the first Lashon Chanina, who said that it passes over davening, calls when he's drunk, would hold that he can't be woken up. The idea is that if he's woken up from his sleep, then that typically would mean that the intoxication hasn't fully dissipated. And only if he sleeps it out fully and wakes up on his own would you say that the intoxication fully dissipated, and would he be able to daven now? So that would be the chiluk between Reb Chanina and Reb Yechanan, whether he could be woken up, to daven, or he has to let the sleep completely get rid of his intoxication. Amarav chiyam barashi amarav. Kol she'en edatim miyashav esalav al yisbal. Whoever's das not Yishuv, should not daven. So now we're saying nothing to do with drinking. If his das not Yishuv, he has some issues on his mind, he shouldn't daven. Because the pasuk says, "Btsar al yiraya." When a person is sorry, he shouldn't give a psak. And we're saying similarly, he shouldn't daven in such a condition. On the day that he was angry, he wouldn't daven. Amar, what did he say? "Btsar al yiraya." The pasuk says, "Btsar al yiraya." Now what's interesting is if you look at Rashi says we don't have such a pasuk. "Btsar yiraya," but Dakti, I'm quoting from Rashi. Vadakti achar mikra zeh ve'ena b'chol k'suvim v'shema v'sefer ben sirihu. Rashi says, I look for this pasuk, can't find it. It's nowhere in the k'suvim. Maybe it's in sefer ben sirah. Maybe that's where it is. In the lashon of Rashi, maybe it's in sefer ben sirah. Maybe it seems like Rashi didn't want to specifically read sefer ben sirah. So he says maybe it's in sefer ben sirah. That's where you find the pasuk of Btsar al Yaira. Rabbi Natam, if you look at Taisa says, as an arichas on this, Rabbi Natam, Taisa brings Rabbi Natam, wants to say that it's actually, it is a pasuk, but it's a pasuk that's being paraphrased. The pasuk doesn't say Btsar al Yaira, we're just paraphrasing the pasuk. We find other places in Shas, we've done this, we've spoken this out, not so distant past, we've spoken out that Vinasa Kesav Taisa, and the Taisa brings example, Vinasa Kesav Kamlai. The pasuk doesn't say anything, doesn't say those words. It says, Vyasav Chamishas Kesav Olav Vikamlai. It doesn't say Vinasa Kesav, Vyasav Chamishas Olav. And we, to more paraphrase, says, Vakam, so to hear, Batsar al Yura is just from the Lashon of the Pasuk, quotes the Lashon of Batsar, and we stick in the, we're paraphrasing, the Lashon is Hayyarech Shuach Lei Batsar, right? That's the Lashon of Pasuk, and we say, Batsar al Yura, that is Rabbeinu Tam. The Rishonim are bothered with Taisvis's deflection, where Taisvis says it is a Pasuk, he's being a Pasuk from Eiv, the Pasuk of Hayyarech Shuach Lei Batsar, he's being a Pasuk from Eiv, again, just like we have just before, quote from Eev, we're bringing another pasuk from Eev over here, but they're bothered because normally they have a few issues. First of all, if the pasuk doesn't say any more anything about Yaira, about Psak, and our Gemara is quoting with regard to davening, so why quote Betzar Yaira? He shouldn't Betzar, when one's Betzar, when he's not settled, he shouldn't paskin, and we say, who I didn't shouldn't daven. If the pasuk says it, okay. If it said Betzar Yaira, then it's very good. We're going to learn about davening from Psak. But if the pasuk didn't say, talk about Psak, the pasuk just says, in general, about shuach le betzar, hayarich shuach le betzar, about in general assessing things when one's betzar, then why are we jumping to tefillah to psak and learning tefillah from there? Go straight to tefillah. Say betzar ayispalo. That's the sugi. That's well, anyway, paraphrasing, and that's what we need for our Gemara. So go straight to betzar ayispalo. That is one of the questions that the Rishonim ask on Taisus. Another question asked Rabbeinu Tam Ritva adds is that in the other cases we're not paraphrasing more than we the pasuk that we're quoting. And the Gemara, the lashon of the pasuk according to the Gemara has at least two words similar to the pasuk. So v'kam lai is in the pasuk. V'kam is what we quote instead of v'yasaf alav chamishas. Instead of saying those lashon, we say v'nasan hakesef. Okay, we switch those words, but we leave v'kam lai. At least two words are the same. Over here, you have one word betzar. That's enough. You start paraphrasing the rest with only having one word that's similar. That's a little bit too much of a stretch. Therefore, the Rishonim are not so happy with Benitaz Malach. And again, according to Rashi, it's a pasuk found in Ben Sira. That will be the source for this idea of not davening when one is betzar. Now, we'll touch more on this in a bit, but Mordechai brings that this idea of a Gemara that since we can't concentrate, once Betzar, he shouldn't daven, it doesn't exist anymore, it's no longer applicable. There's very times the Mordechai. So going back already almost about 900 years. Why? Because anyway, we don't daven with such kavana. Since we don't have such kavana, so this excuse not to daven, I think we just touched on it, I'm pretty sure we touched on it yesterday share as well, that this concept applies, let's say, Bizman Azeh, a chasen, we know the Lech is a chasen, the Maribrach tells us the night of the chasen, he's turned by mitzvah, he shouldn't daven, yet when there's a minion by the Badekin, or by the chassan's tish, and the chassan dam is long all the time. Keseder, why? So you could say because he's not yet tarried yet. But the pashtus says the price can bring because anyway we don't have kavana. Our kavana is not on the par where it's supposed to be, and therefore when it comes to these gemaras about when one doesn't have kavana shouldn't daven, we are not machmer, so to speak, or we don't follow that exact restriction because anyway our kavana, our focus is not so good to begin with. Shulchan Aruch brings this marach lemaisa, but he makes an exception still, of course, that what drunk one still shouldn't daven, even though in general saying just because we don't have proper kavana we still would daven because we don't have kavana anyway. But when it comes to being drunk, then we still don't daven. We'll see a drive more about this shortly. Says Gemara Vayitam Ma'ukfa B'yamid Shusha Le'av Enafik Le'bedina Ma'ukfa on a day of the south wind. He didn't go to the court to serve as a dayan. Amar Nachma Yitzchak Yochasa Bayitzlusa Chemedisna. The reason why, because the south wind was a wind that causes like storm winds, and it was too when the storm winds, it was like a pahala for him. It was too effective his ability to think straight, and therefore he didn't want to go to the courts. Similarly, Amar Nachma Yitzchak Yochasa Bayitzlusa Chemedistana. Giving a psak, famous Gemara, giving halacha requires clarity of the day, like the north wind brings. Amar baye yamar liam karav kutcha. If my mother would ask me to pass her the kutach, then late tonight I wouldn't learn. Because of the distraction of serving my mother. Remember, Abai, of course, didn't have a mother. Abai's mother was Nifter when he was young. When he used to call his stepmother, his mother, the woman who raised him, was his stepmother. But the point of it is that even though he was busy with a basic errand of getting his mother kutach, he couldn't focus anymore. Once he had something else on his mind, he couldn't focus to learn, to concentrate properly. Am Rava, Ikartsin Kina, like tonight, if I'm bitten by a louse, then I can't concentrate normally. Marbre Dravina of the Ime Shiva, Mani the Shiva Yami. The mother of Mar, Bray Dravina, made him seven sets of clothing in order to prevent lice. He had a different set of clothing for every day of the week. He wore a different pair of clothing. By constantly changing his clothing, he prevented it from getting lice, which would distract him from being able to learn, properly. Amar Vihuda. So that was all that got me learning as opposed to diving. Amar Vihuda, Le'ivr Laila Elishin, say we continue on the topic of learning, that nighttime was created for, not for, sorry, he's free saying nighttime was created only for sleep. Amar Shimon Lakish, Le'ivr Siara Eligirsa, and the light of the moon was created specifically for learning Torah. I don't know if this is true, but when I was learning at Israel, the Ravad Yosef Zatzal, he was famous about him that he would always appear even by daytime, by nighttime with sunglasses on. And the legend was that he grew up in Egypt. He grew up in a place without either there was poverty or no electricity, and he used to learn at night for hours and hours to the light of the moon. and it damaged his eyes, and therefore he would, this is the legend that they had told us back then, therefore he would always wear sunglasses because his eyes were more comfortable with the sunglasses on at all times of the day. But it came about because he spent hours and hours learning at night to the light of the moon. That's Rashi Malachi says that the moon was created for to be able to give someone light to study Torah even at night. I'm a letter of Zayr, which is, seems to be countering Ravida's memory that night was created for sleep. He's saying, yeah, but the Rashi Malachi is saying, but the moon was created to be able to learn even to the light, even to the light of the nighttime. I'm a letter of Zayr. Mechadadan Shmaitach. Reb Zera was told that your teachings are sharp. Because the sharp teaching must have been from daytime learning, not from nighttime learning. Amrlei Prati Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda, the daughter of Chizda, Rav Chizda, lay by my mina purta. Don't you need to sleep a little bit? He doesn't see the daughter of Chizda's tongue of his father. You don't sleep enough. Amrlei Rav Chizda said back, Hashta also Yamericha Victini Venam Tuva. The day is going to come, meaning Achamei Vesrim, where there'll be days that are very long for the purpose of sleeping, and they'll be very short for the purpose of Torah. I'll sleep then a lot. Right now in this world where there's long for Torah and short for sleep, I'm going to spend my time learning and not spend my time sleeping. It's like Anan Poiladi Mamanan. We're daytime workers, meaning again, our best learning is done by the day. The reason why learning is clear is because of my day. So Rav Yaakov would borrow and repay his hours of learning. So this is different halakhos the guy be learning. First of all, there's a focus. The main focus of it was whether the person's learning is best suited by day, and by night he should only be sleeping, or he should even be learning at night. It seems to be a back and forth between the Amram. And then lastly, Rav Yaakov would be Yosef Parah. He would borrow and repay his hours of learning, meaning he set a certain amount of time when he was supposed to learn every day. If his business matters would interfere with his learning time, so then Rashi explains he would make up a learning quota. Whatever he didn't learn by day, he'd make it up at nighttime. He'd repay it back. So 2 points in this. First of all, it's a famous. This is a mice with Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim, after one of his kids' chasnas, he told him a chutin. He apologized, says he's not going to make the shavrachas. I don't know if all the shavrachas or the next night shavrachas. He won't be able to make it because he has to deal with his chayfas. That was the lashon he told the mechutin. The mechutin got nervous and he tried to start setting up some money to raise funds for Reb Chaim's chayfas. And Reb Chaim, when he came back to Reb Chaim to help him, to give him the money that he was trying to raise, Reb Chaim said, no, I apologize, you misunderstood me. The chayv I was referring to is this Gemara, Yazif Upara. I was referring to the chayv of learning. During the chasana, the day of the wedding, the day before the wedding, I have a certain amount of quota of learning I do every day, and it got diminished through the Baruch Hashem, through the Simcha, but it got diminished, and I need to pay back what I borrowed from my learning, and therefore I won't be able to attend the Shavrachas because I'm not going to be able to catch up to what I need to pay back. Unbelievable idea, says Reb Chaim Shlita. Furthermore, when Rishon Falvashusa came to Toronto a bunch of years back, he was coming from a parliament meeting for one of the yeshivas. He was Tariq Mima probably. So he gave a shmooze, and in the shmooze he discussed that one of the first questions that person's asked Achamei Vesem is Kavat Itim Torah. Will you convey at times for Torah? So he wanted to explain that there's two different levels of learning. There's the fact that a person has to be learning Kaseid as much as possible, as much as he can. That's a general idea. And then there's this idea of Kavias learning for Torah, but the Tavia of and the obligation of Kavias Itim Torah is setting aside fixed times for Torah that no longer belong to the person. He's dedicated those times, belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the extent, to learning, to the extent that if he doesn't learn at those times, he has to pay it back. And they use this Gemara as a Raya of Yosef Upara. You're borrowing against it. There should be a fixed time. He said it's not even a matter important of, obviously the longer the better, but it's not so important how long that period is. There's one Madrega of learning as much as one can. If you can learn hours a day, learn hours a day. If you learn, you know, many hours a day, many hours a day. Gevaldig. That's one Madrega, and that's of course important. There's a separate din of Kavati Lotera. One has to be Kaveya learning in morning and night. He has to be Kaveya to have some learning in his day, morning and night. And that Kavis could be very short. It could be very short, but it has to be time that he does consistently every day. And if he doesn't, he pays it back. He borrows against it. It's time that he, so to speak, has dedicated to Mekadesh L'Shamayim. And that's the basis for that. His basis of his explanation was from this Gemara of Achab Yaakov Yosef Upara. Okay. Amar Belazar. One who comes from travel shouldn't have for 3 days because his mind is still not settled from his travel. After 3 days, we're able to scrutinize the nation. After 3 days of resting, that's what Ezra was able to give proper Yishev Adas. When he came back from the road, he didn't daven for 3 days. Shmuel wouldn't daven in a house which had beer. So the father Shmuel again is the same memra about not having his datim Yishev, and he wouldn't daven. For 3 days after traveling. Shmuel is a similar idea. Wouldn't daven in a house where there was beer because he was for the beer, that even just the mere smell of the beer would give him would intoxicate him. That's the simple taich. Rambam actually learns that the smell of the beer is bad. Beer has a rough smell. He don't want to dive in a place where it smells bad. Okay, if Papa Matsli, the base of Tisbe Arsida. If Papa wouldn't dive in a house which has fish that was fried with their oil, again, that would seem to be something which would distract him from his davening. The smell of that fish would distract him from his davening. Again, over here, the place to speak out, the Miri speaks out already, that when we talk about not davening in these situations, it's first of all, Miri says, once you still daven tefillah katsara. Even those people that didn't daven, it means they didn't daven in regular davenings. But tefillah katsara, short tefillah, we had havinenu, we had a brachas, a short tefillah, one should daven, number one. Number two is, the Mefarshim speak out again, like we spoke out before, from the Mordechai, we just saw tefillah katsara from the Meiri. We spoke out before from the Mordechai, that again, we don't have such proper kavana, regardless, this goes back way back when, and therefore we're not so makpin not to daven. We're not makpin not to daven after a person travels and the like, because anyway, we again, there's not an excuse not to have kavana, but anyway, kavana is not on the level that it would take for a person to be able to focus like they used to in davening, and therefore we could daven even when we don't have a full fledged yeshiva das. Now, getting back to the Gemara about sleeping, if Chizza said his daughter said, "When are you going to sleep?" He said, "I'll sleep in the world to come." So, how much sleep is normal? So the Sefer Levayis Chayim, if you look at Taisus, jump at Taisus, Elo L'Shinasa, night was meant for sleep. What nights? K'may Leilei T'kufas Tamas, like the nights of Tamas. The Sefer Levayis Chayim brings, based on our Taisus, that what is a normal night's sleep that a person should get? 6 hours. Why 6 hours? Because in the days of Tamas, those are the long summer days, the days, light time, it's light for 18 hours. It's dark for roughly 6 hours, right? It gets dark as late as, I mean, over here in Toronto, it gets dark as late as 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and it's already light by 3:30, 4 in the morning, it's already getting light. So 6 hours is the shortest dark period of a day in the shortest night times of the year. So 6 hours is the amount of time that a person should be sleeping. That is, I mean, basically just says Tukuvas Tamas, the Vayis Chayim says, which means 6 hours. The Goyin said that a person should be sleeping, again, obviously a person has to handle this, 8 hours out of 48 hours. Not what I'm thinking. 8 hours out of 48 hours. Brings it from the pasuk of Az Yanuach Li. Az Aleph Zayin is Gematria 8, and Li is 40. Az Yanuach Li. Az 8 hours is enough rest for 40 hours, and for 40 hours of being awake. 8 hours of sleep, 40 hours of being awake. So basically, 8 hours out of 48 hours, 4 hours per day. And the freshmen discuss that it doesn't mean sleep 8 hours and then stay 40 hours straight. It means scattering out 8 hours over 48 hours, scattering out 8 hours of sleep, which is of course very little. Famously, Rambam says a person should be sleeping a shlish 8 hours out of 24 hours. One should be sleeping. And the Magen Avraham brings hakol lefi mashu adam. It depends on the person himself. Each person is different. Also depends on the person's body. It makes a difference how much sleep he needs, and also what he does. A person who's involved in very, let's say, very physical laborious activities, body gets very physically tired. Or a person is involved in very draining, mind draining activities. Different professions. Certain professions require really draining the mind. Other professions are not so taxing on the mind. So a person, if his profession is physically taxing or mentally taxing, he likely would need more sleep, stronger sleep, deeper sleep for sure, to refresh his mind than someone whose actions or his physical natural makeup may require less sleep. And therefore, Magen Avraham says, a kol lefi mashu adam, but there are sources, again, for these different amounts, either 4 hours a day, 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day. Rambam, again, famously says, a person should try to sleep 8 hours as 1 hour. Seems somewhere between 6 and 8 seems to be the healthy amount for most people, the average people. But it's highly unlikely that the most successful gedalim in the world are sleeping 6 to 8 hours a day. It's not that I'm not saying it's the bad thing to do, but maybe that's just for the gedalim. But for the gedalim seem to be seemingly we're always up quite early. We're not sleeping 6 to 8 hours. But again, that seems to be the general barometer of sleep, somewhere between 6 and 8 hours. Okay, back in the Gemara, Amar Chanina. Anyone who can be appeased to overlook things that someone mistreated him, and he drinks a little bit of wine and that calms him down, which is a common practice. Person takes a drink and it takes away a little bit of his stress, of his issues. So if he uses it to overlook other people's injustice, yesh b'midas kaina, he asks for the midas kaina shnemar, v'yarech Hashem es reyach anichayach. Hashem smells reyach anichayach. So just like by kabanas, so to speak, kav yachal, appease Hashem, this wine appeases the person. It's like that, the reyach anichayach that was for the kabanas by nayach. But the point is, it's this idea of utilizing something else to calm down one's anger at someone else. Amar b'chiyah, comes yashu b'yayne, whoever gets settled with a clear mind after drinking, yesh bei das shimnus kainim. He has, now the reason these gemaras, just to give a background is we spent the first Alamed discussing the pitfalls of wine and the downsides and the negativity. Now we're focusing on the positivity. So wine could be used to calm a person down that he's angry at someone. Wine could be used to stop miyash of a person's das, and he gets the levels of the shivim zakenim. Yain itim shivim isis. Yain is 70. The gematria of yain is 70. Two yuds and nun is 70. The say you need to be shivim isis, and say is gematria 70. Nichasayin that's a say. The person wine goes in and the say comes out. Amar Chanan. And the Gemara is not saying this is so much as a negative or positive. It's a metzias that a person, once he loses his inhibition, so sight comes out. Wine is a way to bring in a person's sight. I'm Rav Chanan Leniver Yain. That could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing, depending on the situation, of course. I'm Rav Chanan Leniver Yain El Nacham Avelim. Yain was created to Nacham Avelim, the Shalom Schar Prasharim, and to give Schar to Prasharim in this world. So Yain is very special. It's Nacham Avelim. It gives Schar to Prasharim in this world. Now, Prasharim obviously are getting paid in this world in order not to have anything only in the next world, but we see it's something benefit, it's something Geshmak that Prasharim, it's used to pay back Prasharim. Okay. Amar Chanan Bar Papa Nishpa Kol Shein Yain Nishpach Pesach Beisay Kamayim. Any house where the wine doesn't spill like water. Ena Bchal Bracha Zab Bchal Bracha Shem Aberchas Lach Magaves Meimecha Ma Lechem Shenika Pekasav Meiser. Lechem is something which clearly you could use Kasav Meiser to purchase. Af Mayim. So Mayim in that pasuk is something which Shenika Pekasav Meiser. Now you can't use Meiser money to buy water. Mayim is what must be referring to. Mayim in the pasuk refers to Yain. The currently Mayim. Now the pasuk's referring to, it's referring to Yain, but it calls it water. Why would it call it water? Rather, it teaches you inish b'tapa v'beis inish b'beisay kemayim ikka bracha v'ilay lay. Because if it spills in one's house like water, then there's a simon bracha. If it does, there's also simon bracha or v'ilay. P'shesh v'arba the nicker, a person is nicker in three ways: b'kaisay, b'kisay, u'v'kasay. A person can be recognized with three things. One of them, which is wrong with our sugya, is this cup of wine. When he drinks a cup of wine, so there's different explanations of what this means. One way is because by drinking wine, the true person comes out. Another way is, like we just said before, is he generous with his wine? But again, the simple taitch is his true self comes out when he drinks wine. His das is miyushev, u'v'kisay, with his wallet, the way he deals with people, if he deals in business honestly. And lastly, b'kasay, and there's other pshat with that as well. But again, when Rashi's pshat, if he does honestly, uvakasay, and anger. Again, Rashi learns, but what does that mean? That means, how does he get to, how does he lose himself and become very angry? That's what you nicker, what that person is. Some say afishachay, some say also when he's laughing, when he's joking around, when he's laughing, does he laugh in a public way? The way the Meiri explains means, does he lose himself in public, which is a little bit degrading? That could be the idea. Or in general, not losing himself, forget about in public, not losing himself completely, always having a certain level of self-control. That's also a way to recognize what type of chashivas this person has. Again, some of the first will explain even more than what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying simply if a person gets angry, what level of anger he gets, or if he's honestly in business, or how, when the wine's miyashiv is das, how he behaves. Some want to say it's more than that. When a person gets drunk, what he does, that's when you see what's truly inside, what he says, what's truly in his mind. When a person gets angry, what he says, that's when you see what's truly in his mind. These are things that a person loses himself when it comes to money. People lose themselves, and then you get to see what's really percolating on the inside when they lose themselves. That's what others explain. This Gemara not steer to Rashi, just in addition to what Rashi was saying. Now we speak about the bias where the yayin is nishpach kamayim. Therefore, there's bracha, so it's actually important lemaisa in the Ramah. It seems to be a when we do it and how we do it seems to be maybe some sources al pi kabbalah, but spilling the wine on the floor by Avdallah. This is the source that people overflow the cup of wine by Avdallah. Why Avdallah? Avdallah. I mean, people like to kais yayin mali for all kaisa bracha we do. But specifically by Avdallah, it's the beginning of the week, Simen Bracha, of having wine spill Kiyayin. That's where the notion comes from overflowing the cup of wine, or the cup of grape juice on Matzah Shabbos by Avdallah, overflowing it. Al-Pikabullah, it goes on the floor, you spill it on the floor. I think without the Al-Pikabullah, Agamar just talks about spilling. You can spill it on the table, you can spill it on the counter. The point is, overflowing is the aside, overflowing it is Simen Bracha. Others, but then the Ramah brings this. Other Achreinim argue in the Ramah, say spilling is Batashchas. Why would you spill? Spill is Batashchas. It just means fill it up all the way. You have to be generous with it. You don't be stingy with wine. Fill it up. And when you give me others, be generous, pour them. The example they actually give is, if someone else spills over a cup of wine in your house, don't get upset. If you get upset, that means you don't treat wine like water. If you get upset, if it bothers you, that means you don't treat wine like water. You don't have the Simen Bracha. If you don't get upset, then you have the Simen Bracha. That's to explain it. But stop to purposely spill extra. That'll be Batashkas. They don't like this Adhaga. Again, the Rambam brings it, and many people are unable to do it. But that's the discussion in the Achreinim on this topic. Okay, now we get back a little bit to Erevin. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav. Yisrael ben Achiv ben Pnimius, Yisrael ben Chatzeres. Let's say you have two Chatzeres, a Yid and a Goy in the inner Chatzer, and a Yid alone in the outer Chatzer. But my son, Rabbi Vassar, story came from the Rabbi, and he answered the Yid living in the outer Chatzer from carrying out of from his house into his Chatzer, unless he made an arrangement with the guy, namely what arrangement with the guy. Arrangement with the guy has to be leasing schiras from the guy. Lefnei Rabbi Chiva Asar, and Rabbi Chiva also paskin that it's Asar. Then the Moral wants to understand, in whose sheet are we going? Remember, we had a machlekes in the parak, whether when a yid lives alone with a guy, is there a problem of needing a tikkun in the chatzer? Of again, Erev doesn't work with the guy, neither does Bittul Rishus, but Schiris works. Do you need to do a Schiris from the guy or not when it's just one Yid with the guy? Ramir says yes, Rabbozak says no, it needs to be two Yidden. We have two Yidden who are there together and there's a guy. That's when there's an issue. So the Mara wants to understand who's the Rav's halacha going like. Yosef Rabba, the Rabbi Yosef, Vishili Pirkei Rav Sheshes. Rabbi Yosef was sitting after the drasha of Rav Sheshes. Yosef Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes was sat with them and said, "Come on, I'm a Rav Shmaita. Who did Rav say the Shmaita according to this memra? Who did go like a mayor? The goes like a mayor." And Karchus Rabbi Reisha, Rabbi nodded and said, "Yes, this fits like a mayor. That even when you have one yid living in the guy, that alone is enough to create a chi of the guy is considered a dyer. Again, it's a gzer d'abanan. We consider the guy a dyer midra abanan." He's considered a dweller to make an issue even with one yid, and therefore presents a problem here. Otherwise, because according to Rav's back, it wouldn't be an issue. Rav Yosef says, what do you mean? Trey Gavri, Rabbi Karabanan, little by Milsa, two great people like Rav Sheshes and Rabba, are going to make a mistake in this. Ikra Meir, Lamali Yisro B'chitzayna. If we're going to Meir, who needed the story with the yid in the outer chutzner? Just one yid alone with the guy in the inner chutzner. End of story. That's ready enough. If we're going to Gamer, maybe you'll tell me because that was the story. That was actually a story that occurred, and that's why he taught the story this way. But it's not true. They asked Rav, "What about the guy in the inner chutzner?" I understand the outer chutzner we're saying has an issue of carrying from his house to the chutzner because the yid and the guy from the inner chutzner they go through his chutzner. We'll see more about that in a second. But the point is, the guy in the outer chutzner has an issue. But they asked Rav, "What about the yid in the inner chutzner who's living alone with the guy? Him, one yid, one guy." What's halach over there? And he said, it's mutter. You don't have to do any adjustment over there. Meaning, he clearly holds not like a mare. He holds it, one yid with a guy. It's not an issue like a basmi akiv. Says him for 1 second. Elakar mabasmi akiv. Elamai. Rav is going like she's replaced Yaakov, like you're saying. Therefore, one yid with the guy was not an issue. But then, even this case where they have two yidden shouldn't be an issue because the two yidden aren't separate chatzeres. How much you stay Yisrael Meisav Zalze? It's only when the two Yisraelim aser one another. These two yidden are separate chatzeres. They're not aser one another. Each yid's in a separate chatzer, so don't present this of each other. So therefore, you fight to stuck with a yid and a guy, and then a yid alone. According to Blazer Yaakov, none of these should be aser either. Elikur Yekiva. The Mar says maybe perhaps you're going to say goes like Yekiva. Why? And there's a concept that Lazer you mentioned earlier in the beginning of the parak. Dama regal mataras mukayma iserah shlem mukayma. A regal that's mutam mukayma iserah shlem mukayma. So let's say in this case you have the inachatzer, right, where the yid and the guy are both in the inachatzer allowed to be there, and there's even if it's mutter for them to carry there, or they have to make adjustments, it's really irrelevant. The point is, if they're able to walk through the outer chutzner, that becomes like an additional member in the outer chutzner, and therefore plays a role. So you can go to Rabbi Kiva and say that the guy and the yid for the inner chutzner, as if we're focused more on the yid now, as if the yid is in the outer chutzner, and now you have two yid in the same chutzner, and therefore it's a problem, says the Gemara, Lamali Nachri, then you don't need the guy? Afilu Yisrael Lamim, like we just said, really the yid alone is enough is an issue. Yid in the chutzner, yid in the outer chutzner, it combines the chiddush of Rabbi Kiva. The regla amateris makes it iser, even though it's separate chutzner. Since the inner chutzner travels with the outer chutzner, it makes it aser in the outer chutzner. That's all you need. You don't need more than that. Why do you need the guy to be involved? Says Gemara, you're right. We're going to combine Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Blazman Yaakov. Amra Avun Beit Avishua La'ilam Rabbi Blazman Yaakov Uchir Bekiva. This sheet of Rav is going like both the view of Rabbi Blazman Yaakov and Rabbi Akiva. Two separate ideas. They're not steering to each other. They complement each other. Hakam Haskin Gancha Irvu. The case of Eruv with the two Yidim and Eruv. V'tayma Deika Nachri De Aser. And the reason why the Aruchatz has Isra because there's a Nachri in the inner Chatzer. Avlaka Nachri Le Aser. It's very simple. We're talking about with the inner Chatzer Yid and the Aruchatz Yid made an Eruv, and that which goes with Rabbi Akiva's din, since the inner Chatzer Yid can go walk out of through the outer chutzner's rishus. Therefore, for the outer chutzner guy to carry, he would need to have an eruv, and he made an eruv. There's eruv in the inner chutzner. Once there's eruv, he's no problem between the two yid, and there's no issue. They can both carry in the chutzneris. No issue to begin with. However, now that there's a guy there as well, you have a new issue. You have two yidim with a guy. Rabbi Blaz Yaakov says over there you have a problem. Over there you have an issue, and that's so of course like Rabbi Blaz Yaakov and like Rabbi Akiva. By me, Rabbi Blaz Marav. Rabbi Blaz asked rather following shayla. Our discussion until now has been a case where you have a yid and a guy in the inner chutzner and a yid in the outer chutzner. And that's a little more protective for the yid. Why? Remember, we spoke out the whole gezeira of having to make an adjustment with the guy is in order to incentivize the yid not to live with the guy. But one yid with the guy, Rabbi Kilas Beakov holds. Rabbi Meir argues, pointing with the guy. Rabbi Zakov, who he passed like holds, that what? That you don't have to worry about it because it's very uncommon. And he's not going to be comfortable to live with the guy because maybe the guy will harm him and there's no one there to protect him. So a single yid with the guy wouldn't live that way. Two yidim with the guy is already more common. Multiple yidim with the guy, the yidim protect each other and therefore it's more common. Therefore there's a concern. Now when you have a yid with the guy in the inner chutzer, so he has the yid of the inner chutzer has the protection from the yid of the outer chutzer because whenever the yid of the outer chutzer comes in and checks up and sees what's going on, he can demand from the guy, where's my friend the yid? What's going on? Where is he? Just make sure everything's okay. And if the guy's going to try to excuse himself and say, no, the yid left. I don't know where he is. He left. The outer yid can say, I'm in the outer chutzer. I never saw him pass by. He didn't leave. Whereas, so that affords a good level of protection. And therefore, Blood Jacob's Shita would apply, would agree. You have two yid and the guy, you already have an issue. What about the other way? The one wants to know, what if the yid is living alone in the inner chutzer, and then there's a yid and a guy in the outer chutzer. Is that yid and the guy together in the outer chutzer? Is that yid protected, and therefore Vayter Blas Yaakov's din would apply? But do we say the Maisi is living alone? Just because there's yid in the inner chutzer, if the yid in the inner chutzer comes to the outer chutzer, I'm just going to speak out the more outside, the guy could tell the yid from the inner chutzer when he asks, where's his friend? Oh, your friend, he left. And the yid from the inner chutzer would have no proof to say that the yid didn't leave and not be able to demand from the guy more information whether the guy harmed the yid or not. And therefore, he's not considered protected. And therefore, maybe the dinner of Blazak wouldn't apply. Maybe we consider not shchiach, not a place for a yid to live. And maybe you'd fight to say you wouldn't have to be worried about making an adjustment. Like when you have one yid living with the guy, you don't have to make an adjustment according to Blazim Yaakov. That is the shayla. Ba'imine, Rav Eliezer Merav. You saw Benachmi Bechitzayin of Yisob Beprimis. What if it's the other way? The yid and the guy in the outer chutzer, and there's a yid in the inner chutzer. Hasam Tabem Mishem Tashiach Dair is the reason why Rav said in the earlier case it's usser and you have to make adjustments is because it's very common for you to live in such a manner. Why? Demir says Nachi, because the guy in the inner chutzer is afraid to harm the yid in the chutzer. So Hashas Yisob Amrli, the other yid is going to come and say, Yisrael Davi Gabach Hecha, where's the yid that was with you? And he won't be able to get out of it because they can't say the guy left because the Aruch Hatzah Yid would know if he left. But over here, when the guy's in the Aruch Hatzah with the Yid alone, in the Aruch Hatzah, even if the Yid from the Aruch Hatzah passes through, he says, where's my friend the Yid? The guy could say, oh, he left. Even though he's harmed him, Chlila, he could say he left. He's still afraid. Since the Yisrael is constantly walking through, he lives in the Aruch Hatzah and he goes through the Aruch Hatzah to get out, he's constantly walking through, maybe the guy's still afraid and therefore would be a normal living arrangement and therefore it would be applicable all the dinim of making adjustments. That's the Gemara. Amar Lay, Rav answer back, Tain Lachacham Vyachamaid, give knowledge to the Chacham, and it'll get wiser. Meaning, just like the guy makes an Isser in the case where he's in the inner chutzer, he makes an Isser even in the case where he's in the outer chutzer as well. Rishakash and the Chanina Iklul Al Pundik, Rishakash and the Talmid of Chanina visited a certain inn, and they wanted to stay for Shabbos, and they wanted to be able to carry from their rooms into the chutzer. So they made an Erev amongst themselves. The problem was one of the people who had rights to one of the rooms was a house was leased by a guy. The tenant's guy wasn't there. Have a mask, but the landlord, also a guy, was there. The landlord, who was a guy, was there. The shayla was, could they circumvent the tenant, who right now has rights to this area, to this house, and lease directly from the landlord? Amru Malameg Lemine, they say, what's the halacha? Is it permitted to lease from this guy, from the landlord directly? The landlord cannot get rid of the tenant before the lease is up. The chari has no rights to lease out. He can't lease out the space. He has no bailus over it. He can't lease out the space. The question is in a case where the landlord could evict the tenant. My keep the mitzvah salak agrine. Since he can get rid of the tenant, therefore you can release the rights from him. Aydilma hashtam yelai kasalakli. So long as didn't evict him, the tenant still has rights until the landlord evicts him, and therefore you can't do a lease. Says the Gemara. Amalam Mishlakesh Nisker. Let's lease the rights from the landlord. Let's lease the rights, and we get the Rabbi Sanhedrin Shabbazarim. We'll ask them what the halach is. The reason why they did this Rashi explains because Safik Darbanan, the Safik Darbanan Lakula, is holding is in Darbanan. Safik is Lakula, and therefore they said, let's be Saimich, let's Lakula, and let's do it. So what happened? Also, Shaila Rav Afis, when they got to Darm, they came and asked Rav Afis if what they was correct. Amalahem, Yafasisa Shishachartim. He said, yeah, you did well, that you rented it, you're correct, you would be allowed to lease the rights. The Gemara now is going to go into conversation whether he can lease the rights on Shabbos itself. We'll leave that, Mr. Shem, for tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. I'm running to Teshuva. If anyone has any questions, please feel free to text me or call me in about 45 minutes.